and welcome into another great edition of Strong Style. Yep, the second episode of this new venture we have started where we're going to talk wrestling. And this will probably continue long after the quarantine because this is a long time coming. Wrestling and hockey are my two favorite sports, probably in that order. And it's just fun to talk wrestling. I talk wrestling all day long. I have talked wrestling all day long, probably since I was 6 months old. Probably long before I could talk. But welcome back to Strong Style. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to start with last week's SmackDown. We're going to work ourselves all the way up to Ring of Honor that I was able to catch this morning. We're going to do a WrestleMania preview of the card as it sits right now. And I hope you enjoy it. We're going to start with SmackDown from last week. Sasha Banks and Bayley come out. They start running their mouth. Truth be told, I'm not a Sasha fan at all. I'm not going to get into the politics of it. She's okay. Not my thing. Bayley, I can see, is super talented. I like her as heel Bayley, which, once again, when I get into these terms, and for you new listeners or people not familiar with some of the lingo of wrestling, a heel is the bad guy. A face or baby face is the good guy, good girl, whatever. Bayley is currently heel right now. I like heel Bayley. I think that edge that she adds to herself, the fact that she's not afraid to cross a few borders that would typically, not be what a good person would do, I like that. But she comes out and she talks for a while, and then Lacey Evans, Tamina, and Naomi all come out. Shocker. That's going to be a WrestleMania match. They put it all together there. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Drew Gulak came out and faced Shinsuke Nakamura. Of course, Daniel Bryan come out with Drew, and Sami Zayn and Cesaro come out with Shinsuke Nakamura. And since Drew Gulak won, as per the stipulation, Daniel Bryan gets a match for the Intercontinental title versus Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. I didn't have a problem with that. I think that's the fact that they're letting Daniel kind of mentor Drew Gulak, and that Sami Zayn and Cesaro and Nakamura all together. I like all of those pairings because they're only going to make each other better. Nakamura, for people who don't know, who've only seen his WWE work, go watch his New Japan stuff. My goodness. If you watch his New Japan stuff, that is why he got signed. It wasn't anything else. It was that he stole shows. I mean, he would sometimes be the first or second match on a card. After you see his match, you didn't know if he wanted to watch it more or not. How could it get any better? But because Gulak has been kind of a throwaway guy for a while. He's got talent, just they never done much with him. Putting him with Daniel Bryan, okay. Okay, I like that. Elias sang a song, Corbin attacked him, and then he knocked him off a balcony. Of course, they're going to face. It'll probably be part of the pre-show or something. I don't know. But I like King Corbin. I liked Baron Corbin. I like King Baron Corbin. I didn't like Corporate Corbin. It was dumb, but he was smart enough to write it out, do the best he can until he got a better gimmick. Gimmick, a.k.a. character, direction, whatever you want to call it. I like it. And Elias is one of my current favorites right now anyway. I like the Drifter gimmick. Think he can do so much with it. He looks like a beefed-up version of Randy Savage. And Randy was pretty muscular, but a beefed-up version of Randy Savage, and I think they should play off of that a little bit. But Elias and Corbin, that's a potential show-stealer if they do it right. Asuka took on Alexa Bliss. Nikki Cross did commentary. It kind of like Alexa hurt her arm at some point during this match. I don't know if that'll affect things going forward, but she picked up the victory in it. Asuka has got where now she just puts over, a.k.a. loses. Loses while making the other look good. That's what putting over is. It seemed like she did over. She's doing that here recently. And it's hard. When you have so many good people, somebody has to lose. Right now it's been her. But Asuka is one of the best overall technical talents they have. And with Alexa Bliss winning, that means that Bliss Cross, I think it's what they call themselves, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss, they get a future tag shot potentially against Asuka and Kairi Sane, which is the current women's tag team champions. They also known as the Kabuki Warriors. Really good. They showed a replay of Triple H with Stephanie, who was the champion, versus Roman Reigns from WrestleMania 32. Is when Roman won that particular bout. It is very good. If you have the network, go back and watch it. If you don't have the network, it's like 10, 15, 20 bucks a month, and you get access to all the live pay-per-views and all the programming. Think like subscribing to HBO. When you buy HBO, you can see everything is on HBO. It's the way the network works. Ring of Honor has one. I think New Japan has one. UFC has one. Definitely things to look into. After that, we get the Firefly Funhouse match proposed by Bray Wyatt to John Cena for WrestleMania. I will get into what he says because he did it on this week's SmackDown, which I'll talk about in a minute. The Miz Morrison did commentary on the New Day, and the Usos battled. It ended up being a kind of chaotic draw towards the end. Basically, all three of these teams are going to end up in a match. It's going to be a ladder match. They announced that this week, but that should be fun. And that was pretty much the end of the show because the Roman Triple H match took up a good bit of time. It was good. I mean, it was really good. Stephanie got involved, referee. I don't care what you say. McMahon family in general. I mean, Vince, Shane, Stephanie, even Linda, some are very underrated as far as their contributions in ring. Stephanie could hold her own with a lot of people. That brought us to last weekend's Ring of Honor. It was a tribute to the Briscoes. They showed them at their house. They are chicken farmers. They don't shy away from that. And that's, I've never been the world's biggest Briscoe fan. As far as these two Briscoes, Jay and Mark. But they never shy away from it. And in that, I got a respect for them. They're good performers. They're just not my favorites. We'll put it that way. They showed some matches. They had the Briscoes versus Kevin Owens and El Generico, which is actually Sami Zayn. He just wore a mask. It's before he really could get his step in. It's like groove. As for the tag titles back from 2007, of course, the Briscoes winning that one. Really good match. If you get Ring of Honor Plus, Vent, whatever their service is, it's one to go back and watch. You had Mark versus Jay for, and Jay was the champion back in 2013 for the world title. Jay won after doing three J drillers on his brother, and that was the two matches they showed. I like the Ring of Honor's doing this. There's so many people they could just profile like this, even current wrestlers that have had fantastic matches up there. So I definitely like what they're doing. It brought us to Raw. On Raw, you had AJ and Undertaker. They did the recap of the promos. Becky Lynch come out. This is all she does now, basically. Becky Lynch did a promo where Baszler attacked her. I really look forward to their match. WrestleMania replay. It was Rousey versus Charlotte versus Becky in a double championship match. It was a You had the Raw champion and the SmackDown champion. Becky won that match and took both belts. It was kind of her crowning achievement. It started the movement that she had where she was champion for over a year. She's good. I really like Becky. And she's different from the other ones, but man, we're going to get into it a little later. I think some things need to change. And given the situation, the way things are going, if they wanted to shake things up, do some title changes, have some baby faces go over. There could be some fun things at WrestleMania. Aleister Black ran over some guy named Jason Cade, or it didn't matter. Poor guy. These squash matches are a joke, And to me, it makes Aleister Black look even worse. My note on that match was stupid squash. Stupid squash. That's all it was. The Street Profits and Kevin Owens defeated Angel Garza, Austin Theory, and Seth Rollins. It was supposed to be Andrade, but he has a rib injury, so Austin Theory from NXT was able to step in. He is an Atlanta product, product of Atlanta. Has a pretty good name around these parts. Done a lot of really good things on the indie scene, and he's kind of stepped in and helped. Is he Andrade? No. But he's like 22 years old or something like that. The dude, there's some stuff he could do. And him stepping in with Angel Garza is going to be a fun thing for sure. He had the Edge and Randy Orton review. Edge cut another promo from like his basement. I like that they're doing these at-home things and at the or wherever they're at. But that program's gonna be really good. And I'm breezing over a lot of these because when we do the WrestleMania review, I'll talk a little more about them. Asuka beat Kayden Carter, who is an NXT product, straight up there. It's pretty good. Kayden Carter is coming along. She's definitely on Asuka's level, but that's like saying let's do a home run derby and let's do Ken Griffey Jr. versus Mike Trout. Mike Trout's no slouch, but Ken Griffey Jr.'s heyday is going to beat a lot of people in home run contests, you know? Let's see. That left. They did a replay of Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman versus Rey Mysterio at Survivor Series. It was a no-holds-barred match. Rey did a pretty good job, but of course Brock won that one. Then Brock and Heyman do a promo, and that is the end of Raw. It is going to set up a lot of things for WrestleMania that will be here in a handful of hours as we record this. Let's go to Impact Wrestling from Tuesday night. Josh Alexander, who had Ethan Page, his tag team partner, with him. Ethan, they are the North. They are the tag team champions. They've been champions for a long time. They're a good team. I like them both. Versus Eddie Edwards. Alexander ended up with the victory there. That's a good victory over Eddie Edwards. Towards the end of the match when they were both attacking Eddie, it seemed like they were just wasting time until Tessa Blanchard could come down there. She did. That set up something later on. Tessa being the world champion. Kylie Rae took on Cassandra Golden. Kylie Rae was pretty good. They're really kind of building her up. I like it was a good match from two people I didn't know a whole lot about. And in the end, Kylie Rae with the victory. Moose continues to call out TNA Originals, because TNA was what Impact Wrestling used to be. At some point, Kid Cash comes out. It's good to know that Kid Cash is still around. He was still in pretty good shape. He dropped himself on his head at one point on a move he did. But Moose picks up the victory there. Moose is such a waste of talent. He could be so much better than he is, but he's kind of like settled into this groove of just doing the same basic things all the time. Tommy Dreamer took on Sami Callihan in a Anything Goes match. At one point, they traded staple gun shots while they were sat in chairs. Interesting. Usually, I'm not big into the ECW style stuff, but they did a good job with this. The two of them did it respectfully. Sami Callihan got the victory there. I guess a street fight or something. You had Cody Deaner with Cousin Jake take on Joey Ryan, or Joseph Ryan as he is going, because he's not doing the sleeves thing anymore. Once again, I get that Joey Ryan doesn't want to do the sleaze thing. He's kind of getting away from it a little bit. But without that edge that he gave to himself with that, he's just a solid worker. He's just there's no frills to him, man. And Joey, you need some frills, man. You don't have to be sleaze again, but there's some other directions I think you could go that will really do some good things for you. Cody Deaner got the win in that one. The Deaners, man, underrated. Good team, really good wrestlers. That set up the main event. Tessa Blanchard, the champ, versus Ethan Page, who had Josh Alexander down there. Tessa ends up getting the victory. Of course she does. She should. But I don't mind that Impact Wrestling is doing this male-female thing and some of these other things. But I just, as long as they don't take it too far. Because to me, Lucha Underground does an okay job. There's some borderline moments. I think they're doing okay. But it's just a weird can of worms that you can open if you let this get out of hand. That set up NXT from Wednesday night. Velveteen Dream beat Bobby Fish. I like Bobby Fish. He is part of the faction with Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly, the Undisputed Era. I am huge fans of all of them. Bobby Fish, seriously, he's another one that is so underrated. I would say Bobby Fish in that faction, that group there, you got to think Adam Cole is kind of the Ric Flair. Bobby Fish is the Arn Anderson. Kyle O'Reilly is kind of the, I guess, the Barry Windham. This is the version of the ones I'm going with here. And Roderick Strong is the freelance guy who is very, very, very good. But Bobby Fish drops the match, Velveteen Dream. They're building up Dream. He's going to eventually take on Adam Cole. We see it coming. Dexter Lumis, who is kind of a psychotic, crazy-eyed. I hadn't seen him before, but, you know, I'm pretty new to NXT because up until recently it wasn't on TV. But he took on a Jake Atlas. Jake did pretty good, but Dexter Lumis, man, he's got some potential. I like what he did. He was very solid. Wasn't a lot of wasted motion. There was some frills, but it went with what he was trying to do, and that's what I liked. He is kind of the wide-eyed, crazy stalker-like guy. And I could see somewhere down the road, I don't want him to do a stalker thing with one of the girls or something like that, because for one, we've seen a million of those, but one of those in the shadows lurking type guys, and there's a lot of potential with that. But definitely impressed with him. At one point, there was a gauntlet women's match to determine, I believe, the last spot in the ladder match. That's coming up this week, I think. Shotzi Blackheart started versus Deonna Purrazzo. Shotzi, very, very solid in this match. She took out Deonna. Then, is it Shiley? I think she came out. She was knocked out by Blackheart. Blackheart also took out Aaliyah. Blackheart also took out Caden Carter, who had a big week. Solid performances. And then ultimately Dakota Kai came in with her muscle, basically. Forgot that girl's name. And took out Shotzi Blackheart. But it was a way to feature Shotzi and show people that she's not just a green-haired talent that rides a tank to the ring. She's very, very good. She had some submissions in these that even the commentators were like, wow. Just solid, tight, the way you want to do it. But Dakota Kai wins. She gets herself into that ladder match. You know, I like that they put somebody with Dakota Kai where she doesn't have to do all the dirty work. But I don't know. Sometimes it's like she's lacking that last little bit, in my opinion. We had Kushida, who beat Joaquin Wilde. Joaquin did good, but Kushida, man, he's another one. Go back and watch his stuff in New Japan. He is one of the most underrated mid-card guys there are. But Kushida, especially with his arm locks and stuff, it's next level. And then finally, we get to the basically what they were going to do at NXT TakeOver. They've decided to do in some of their weekly shows leading up to WrestleMania. So they had Damian Priest versus the champion, the North American champion, Keith Lee, versus Dominic Dijakovic. I really like all three of these guys. Keith Lee probably is one of the next guys that's going to get called up to Raw or SmackDown. He's kind of a Braun Strowman type as far as he's a big dude that could just move. Kind of stuff he can do. I mean, any of these three guys could get, I hate to say called up, but could get moved to the other shows. But Keith Lee, man, he ends up getting the victory in this one. I felt like it helped showcase Priest and Dijakovic a little more. But to call it a main event, it lived up to it. Definitely lived up to it. That brought us to AEW, All Elite Wrestling. You had Cody. We open up with Cody, Tony Schiavone, and Pharaoh, which is the husky of Cody and Brandi Rhodes at ringside. Not quite sure why he had his dog, but hey, wouldn't hurt anything. They had some of the talent at ringside as well, instead of putting them in a room like they did last week because it was just goofy. There was a 19-minute thriller to open up where Trent, who had Orange Cassidy and Chucky Taylor with him at ringside versus Kenny Omega, a 19-minute thriller where the two of them, it might have been the match of the night. Omega has that kind of match with everybody. Trent is very, very good. The ringside announcer tonight was Dasha Gonzalez. She looks familiar. I can't trace where I know her from yet. She was from somewhere though, and she was quite good. You had Hikaru Shida, who took on Anna Jay. Anna Jay, a local product out of Atlanta, that was actually pretty good. It's one of those you could tell she was brought in as an enhancement talent, so to say. But this is pretty good. She held her own. Sheeta got some stuff in. Anna got some stuff in. Sheeta ends up with the win. They're really building Sheeta. I think she's gonna start to make a push for that world title here soon. At one point, Colt Cabana joined Shivani in the booth because Cody had a match coming up. Jake Roberts introduced Lance Archer. Lance Archer, that dude's awesome. I've always liked Lance Archer. I liked him when he was something else in TNA at the time. But Lance Archer, he went over to Japan, built himself into a star. But he took on Marco Stunt, who is the smallest member of the Jurassic team with the Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Yeah, Archer threw him in places. It looked like a Olympic disc thrower practice. He was throwing him all over the place. Marco held his own for a while. Marco is really, really good to be as small as he is. Kind of Rey Mysterio-like, not quite on Rey's level. But to be as small as he is, he does a good job in the ring. But Lance Archer with a big victory there. Brandi come out with the Natural Nightmares, which is Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. QT, I believe, is a product of the Rhodes brothers. That I think they trained him. They're big friends with him. He's pretty solid in the ring too. They took on two Dark Order guys. They called them number 8 and number 9. They were two masked guys. Yeah, the Natural Nightmares were able to take that one there. It was a good showcase for Dustin and QT Marshall as a team, and the two Dark Order guys, I felt like if, because after this match, And Brody Lee, who is the leader of the Dark Order, aka used to be Luke Harper, he came out and grabbed either eight or nine and pretty brutally power bombed him and stared at the other guy and walked off. Kind of like his way of punishing the one who failed, I guess. Be interesting to see what they do with the Dark Order now that they have Brody Lee as part of it. They had some guys with some semi-recognizable names, but people know who Brody Lee is. So we will see how things go from there. That left us to the main event where Sammy Guevara and Sean Spears, two very underrated guys. Sean Spears for sure. Sammy Guevara is an up-and-coming guy for sure. Versus Darby Allin and Cody. Like I said last week, as much as they are investing in promoting Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara, that shows you the AEW thinks they are the future of what they're doing. And those two guys could be. They definitely could be. This is a pretty good match. Sammy Guevara and Sean Spears end up with a victory in that one. Once again, that was our main event. AEW, even the empty arena stuff, they're doing a good job of still putting on quality matches. They very rarely have a match you just shake your head at. Kind of capturing what Lucha Underground was doing, but on a more subtle level to where you don't get too high and you don't get too low. It stays very steady. That moves us to this Friday's SmackDown. Miz TV had the Usos and the New Day. That just sets up the ladder match that's going to happen between them. Naomi took on Lacey Evans and Tamina. The three-way with Bayley and Sasha at ringside doing commentary. Tamina ends up getting the victory there. That is a nice little feather in her cap because she doesn't win a lot, but that's usually what happens with the bigger talents. They replayed the basically Ric Flair retirement match from WrestleMania 24 in 2008 with Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. For the most part, I had been fast forwarding through a lot of these replays. I did not fast forward through Triple H, Roman Reigns, and I did not fast forward through this match, even though I saw it. I've seen it 5 or 6 times now. It is just clinic of what both these guys could do, even long after people thought they should be gone. But HBK ultimately wins that. Ric Flair, who has all of his family at ringside, including Charlotte. Charlotte is down there. If you look, she's right there, the second from the right. At that point, she is just Ashley, which is her actual name. But yeah, she's there, and David and Reed are all there before all that happened. Let's see where we're at. Tucker took on Dolph. And Dolph picked up the ring steps and used him as well, was trying to smash Tucker with him after he had thrown him on it and got the DQ. Tucker gets the DQ victory. There was a hooded guy at a command center. They said, "I told you the truth would be revealed," or something. Then they showed that Sonya Deville and Dolph kind of caused the sabotage on Otis having his Valentine's date with Mandy Rose. Kind of an interesting dynamic there. I kind of hope they don't split Mandy Rose from Sonya Deville. I kind of like that duo there. They're going to have to figure out something with the way they're doing things. It was an interesting twist. I always thought Dolph was the one totally in control of that, but apparently he was just an added piece. Let's see. That moves us to Daniel Bryan, who had Drew Gulak with him, versus Shinsuke Nakamura with Cesaro and Sami Zayn. Daniel Bryan ends up getting the victory in that one. And a little bit of a melee, as always, but it's just setting up WrestleMania at this point. And then Cena came out and addressed Bray's challenge for a Funhouse. What was that? funhouse match or whatever that was. He said, I don't even know what that is, but sure, let's do it. The cool thing I like is that at one point up on the little stage they have, on the little, it's a little circular stage off to one side. All the lights go out when they come back on. The Fiend is up on there. And so John Cena's staring at him. And then from behind him, Bray Wyatt comes up and just kind of spooks him. So somebody else was representing the Fiend at that point. That was a cool twist. I very much liked it. I look forward to this match at WrestleMania. It led us to Ring of Honor, where they profiled Jay Lethal in a big spotlight. A lot of people call him the franchise. He calls himself the franchise, and I agree. He's only 34 years old, but his body of work, two-thirds of the greatest things he's done has been at Ring of Honor. He talked about that. He talked about having his dad there and for various things. And some of, he goes, when they asked me to say, what are some of my greatest matches and my greatest moments? He said, there's so many great opportunities, so many great things that happen. And I totally agree with that. He has been the franchise. He's been a good part of the reason why Ring of Honor is still as relevant. There's been people come and people go. Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Chris Daniels, Seth Rollins. All these guys have come in and out of there. Jay Lethal's still right there holding it down. He has been part of the glue that has hit the way it needed to. They did the Best in the World replay for the heavyweight and TV titles where Jay Briscoe took on Jay Lethal. Once again, if you have Ring of Honor, Fight Pass, whatever it's called, that this was an incredible match. Just incredible. Whether you like the Briscoes or not, like I said, remember, they're not really my favorite, but I highly enjoy their matches like this. Jay Briscoe and Jay Lethal beat the holy hell out of each other, and it was spectacular. They finished up with Jay Lethal versus AJ Styles from just a couple years ago. It's when AJ had let his contract run out at TNA slash Impact Wrestling. And he kind of made his indie tour before he ended up in New Japan for a little while, and then ultimately WWE. But he took on Jay Lethal, and this was 100% AJ Styles. This was not, washed up AJ Styles, or he was trying to help Jay Lethal. No, the two of them destroyed each other. Obviously, with Lethal getting the victory in the end, but this was an incredible, incredible match. Just, I've always wondered if Jay Lethal went back to WWE. He was there for a minute. They didn't do anything with him. That's why he ended up at TNA. But if he ended up at another company, some of the matchups you could get, where he is so, so good at what he does. But now, let's go to the WrestleMania preview. And I'm going to talk a little bit about each match. I'm going to tell you who I think should win and who will probably win. All right? And I don't know, they're going to do an hour pregame on both. The rumor I heard is that they have already recorded this. Okay. They already recorded this. Would make sense given the times. To start, Otis from Heavy Machinery versus Dolph Ziggler. We all know the story behind this at this point. Otis was kind of getting close to Mandy Rose. Now we know that Sonya Deville and Dolph kind of ended up derailing that, and Dolph kind of ended up dating Mandy. Now that Otis knows all this, we'll see how this goes from there. Who should win this is Otis. because it's kind of the blow-off match. There's not much else you can do. They might try to milk this more, but there's not much else you can do outside of this. This is definitely a pre-game or a pre-show matchup. But to build up Otis a little bit would be a good thing. I would really like Dolph, and I honestly wouldn't have Dolph lose this, but how can you not have Otis win? You know, how can you not have Otis win? So my pick, I'm gonna say Otis. Otis needs to win this because it'd be the blow off. It would, you know, here's the angles WWE could go with it. WWE could either have, once Otis wins, Mandy Rose kind of sides with him. It wouldn't be a bad idea if she was at ringside. If she's not, she could come out after the match. If Otis wins, well, here's the only alternative. She either goes with Otis, or she goes with Dolph, no matter who wins. And I think they're going to kind of side with Otis. I don't know where it's going to go from there. Because honestly, in WWE fashion, more than likely she'll go with Dolph, and then that will dissolve in a couple months, and this whole thing will be forgotten. But we're going to go Team Otis. Elias versus King Corbin. The two of them have been going back and forth for, seems like a couple months. They finally get the big blow off here. I really like Elias, and I really wish they would push him kind of the way they're doing Drew McIntyre. I think he can handle being up in the top if he really wants to. I think King Corbin has a chance too. But I mean, I would like Elias to win. I feel like King Corbin is going to come out with this somehow, and they're going to use that to kind of propel him to do some things. So I'm gonna, as much as I'm an Elias fan, I'm going King Corbin in this one, and we'll see how things develop after all this. Aleister Black is going to take on Bobby Lashley. Can't believe Bobby Lashley is going to put over Aleister Black because the way they're building up Aleister Black, they're finally putting him against good competition. I can't believe they're going to have him beat Bobby Lashley, but I guess he's got to beat somebody, and that kind of legitimate makes it legitimate for what Aleister has been doing here lately. So give me Aleister Black. I don't know why they're building him up so much. There's really nowhere for him to go at the moment, but they don't ask my opinion. That moves us to the Kabuki Warriors, which I told you is Kairi Sane and Asuka. They are the champions, of course, and they are going to take on Bliss Cross, Alexa Bliss, and Nikki Cross for the Women's Tag Team Championships. I feel like they're gonna lose. And yes, I am a big Nikki Cross fan, big Alexa Bliss fan. But I just feel like the right thing to do is to move those titles for a minute. You can always move back, I guess. But I like the Kabuki Warriors, but maybe you should split them and let them do some singles things. I understand part of why you pair them up is because you're trying to get them all involved, keep them all on. But I think Bliss Cross has worked way too hard to not win this. Because if they don't win this, where do they go? Where if Kabuki doesn't win this, they just get a rematch somewhere down the road. Let's move on to the Street Profits, who are the Raw Tag Team Champions. They're going to face Austin Theory and Angel Garza. I don't think Andrade and Garza were going to win, so I still don't think that Austin Theory and Garza are going to win. I really like what Theory has been doing in stepping in for Andrade. Angel Garza has been one of the best indie performers around for a long time, but they're just they're putting the Street Profits up way too high to have them lose something like this. In a ladder match, you got Ms. Mo, as I call them, Ms. Morrison. They are the champions. They're going to take on the Usos and the New Day. I'll be honest, the best thing to do is to have the Miz and Morrison win. They are my pick to keep the titles, have them move on. They can face some other team down the road. I would let the Miz and Morrison keep these for a while. But this should be a pretty good match. I hope they don't destroy each other too much because part of ladder matches, what makes ladder matches great, is the crowd reaction. They're not going to have a crowd. So you're going to hear every grunt every time they royally mess themselves up. Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan for the Intercontinental title. I still feel like Sami's going to do something underhanded and find a way to win, but my pick is Daniel Bryan. Give me the American Dragon, otherwise known as Bryan Danielson, but he is Daniel Bryan in this case here. This is going to be good. If you're a fan of indie wrestling and two guys with that indie style just going solid for hopefully 15 minutes, it's going to be this match. The SmackDown Women's Title Champion Bayley versus Sasha versus Lacey Evans versus Tamina versus Naomi. I hope this is a better match. It sounds like a cluster of crap. Tamina, probably not going to win. I don't think it's the time to give it to Lacey Evans. They could in a WrestleMania moment type thing. It would be better when they had a crowd if they're going to do that. Could Sasha steal it from Bayley? Sure. But then you get two heels that are at each other, and that usually doesn't do very well crowd-wise. And Naomi is just coming back, so why would you turn around and give it back to her if she hasn't really established herself back yet? I think I want to go out on a limb and say Lacey Evans, but I think Bayley retains. I don't see many other ways of direction it could go. Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Not the world's biggest Seth Rollins fan. I'm a huge KO fan, but the way they are progressing this, they want to keep Seth toward the top. There's a chance he gets some kind of cheap victory here or there, but I'm going Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is not only one of the most underrated, but he is just spectacular at the kind of stuff he does. You get NXT Women's Champion Rhea Ripley, who's going to face Charlotte. A lot of people think Charlotte is just going to automatically just roll in this one. I'm going to pick the slight underdog. I'm going to say Rhea Ripley finds a way to retain. And this could go to a follow-up match in a month from now, the next pay-per-view is. Got Becky Lynch as the Raw Women's Champion versus Shayna Baszler. I think Shayna is going to wipe the floor with Becky Lynch. I really like Becky Lynch. I really like Shayna Baszler. If they do this right, this could be the best match on the card. But these two, this is going to be a wrestling clinic. You're going to see a lot of holds. You're going to see a lot of strikes. You're going to see a lot of just whatever they can pull out to make this work. But I got Shayna Baszler being the new Raw champion because you don't build her up and you don't bring her up for nothing. Because if she goes back to NXT, what does she do? Dominate Rhea Ripley? That's why if Rhea Ripley wins her match, she stays in NXT as the champ. That's if not, Charlotte's not going to NXT. It's just not going to happen. You got Edge versus Randy Orton. I very much think whether this is Edge's last match before he disappears again or if he stays around for a little while, I very much think Edge is going to win this. Just the way the buildup has been. Randy Orton is in that part of his career where he is going to put a lot of people over. I think he's going to put his friend Edge over here. It's going to be a really great match. They are going to destroy all kinds of things at ringside. Give me Edge in that one. John Cena versus Bray Wyatt in a funhouse, something funhouse match, family funhouse match, friendly funhouse, funhouse friends, whatever it is. I think Bray Wyatt's going to win this because he needs the leg up more than the Cena. Cena is just coming back because it was WrestleMania. Cena, as good as he is, knows that Bray needs a leg up. I think he's going to really help him out there. I think Bray Wyatt takes that one there. Get the Boneyard match with AJ Styles and Undertaker. I have no idea what a Boneyard match is, but I feel like it's WrestleMania and it's the Undertaker. AJ Styles is in a spot where it doesn't matter if he goes up or down right now. Give me the Undertaker in the Boneyard match because if AJ wins, so what? If AJ loses, so what? I think the Undertaker needs that feather in the cap, so to say. We're down to the last two matches. For the Universal title, champion Goldberg takes on Braun Strowman because Roman Reigns, just so people know, with his compromised immune system, he did just battle cancer, still battling, decided to bow out. So, in bowing out, Braun Strowman steps in. Would Goldberg Roman be a better match? Maybe. Is Goldberg Braun Strowman a bad match? Not at all. It's actually better. Goldberg is very limited in the way he does things. Not limited, but he likes to keep a very, very basic set of things. Braun Strowman is very basic. You're not going to see Braun Strowman do a moonsault off the top. You're not going to see Bill Goldberg spear somebody through the outside barrier. They're going to beat each other. They're going to wrestle. They're going to do some solid big man fighting. And I don't think they're going to give the title to Braun Strowman. I don't know if they're going to give it to Roman. I'm going to say Goldberg retains. He's going to lose it in the next month or so. Leaves us the potential main event. WWE Champion Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman versus Drew McIntyre. I feel like they have been trying to build Drew up to take over this spot for a while. I don't know what that does for Brock, but give me Drew McIntyre in his WrestleMania moment where he's going to become champ. Hey, there's no crowd. But Drew McIntyre, I think, is going to win. It's going to create a whole different era, and it's going to open the door for other people like Baron Corbin and Elias to come up to the top level, I believe. But that's my WrestleMania preview. That's my recap of everything. Thanks for joining us on Strong Style, Episode 2. I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go watch wrestling. Later, peeps.